Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, it's good to have you along on the Monday Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me today for a packed show are Nick Watson, Tom Siegel, my Racing Post colleagues, plus Paul Binfield from Paddy Power. We've got loads on. It's Punchestown Festival starts tomorrow with three Grade Ones. We will be looking at them and all the action from the opening day card at Tuesday. We will get the fancies from the lads on what they like the rest of the week. We will pick apart the classic clues that were presented to us last week, and we'll try and pick the winner of the Bet365 Gold Cup that brings down the jump season at Sandown on Saturday. We'll get the lads' highlights of the season as well. So, tons to get through, and even your chance to win a free £25 or €25 bet. But before we do anything, we need to pay homage to the most superb postcast debut from the Paddy Power expert on Friday, Niall O'Reilly. It was his first ever effort and his first ever nap. Listen to this. And as you're the debutant, you go first. Who wins the Scottish Nash? Nice, easy one.
The one I like at a price is Joe Farrell. The day he caught my eye was behind Mia Storm on good ground early in the season. He was beaten 17 lengths that day, but he had the ultimate winner, Q Star Savola, in behind him. So it looks like useful form. You'd really have to watch the race back to know where I'm coming from here, because he ran much better than that finishing position suggests. All he seems to do is jump and stay, so I'm hoping this test could really suit. He came back after a break in March, and he absolutely hacked up at Newbury. He's got up £11 for that. But I'm hoping just a combination of this trip and the better ground will bring out the very best of him here. And I think he's a cracking each way, about 33-1.
What a start. Well played, Niall. So Joe Farrell won by a nose. Doesn't matter, you still get paid out the same. That was a superb postcast debut. A lot of love on Twitter afterwards for Niall. So he can come back, that's for sure. Can DJ come back from this, though? Because Paul Keighley was also in scintillating tipping form on Friday. Poor old David Jennings, not so much. Who wins this one, Paul Keighley?
This is another race that, you know, you can get loads of shocks in it. And there's a horse in here right down the bottom, 25-1 shot, called Dan's Dream with Mick Shannon. Now, he's only won a 5.5 furlong maiden at Bath 3 weeks ago. The trainer said afterwards they had her in all the races last, all the big entries last year, but she just went wrong. So they've always sought the world of her. Now, Mick Shannon has won this race 4 times, including with a 25-1 chance that came straight out of a Hamilton maiden. I'm just quite interested in, you know, having a stab at a price.
So Dan's Dream at 25s for Keels. DJ, who do you think will win this?
You've no idea how much respect I have for Paul Keighley. Like, it's just incredible. I love the man. But, like, this Dan's Dream can't win this race. Like, won it. Like, there was three horses tailed off after furlong in that mess of a race in Bath. It was a shocker. If this wins, this is the shout of a lifetime for Dan's Dream. Gavotta is a proper filly, and if Dan's Dream finishes in front of Gavotta, what will I do, Paul? I'll buy you pints for the rest of your life.
Hey, well, I'm coming over to Punchdown on Tuesday, so...
Oh, shit. Oh, blimey, you didn't think you'd have to cash that one, did you?
Oh, no.
So there you go, Keels is on his way to Punchestown tomorrow. David Jennings is having to dip into the wedding fund to make sure that Keels gets enough Guinness, and hopefully... plenty of you back. Dan's Dream and Joe Farrell at huge prices. So we were in form there. Hopefully the lads are in form today. Let's look ahead to tomorrow's opening day of the Punchestown Festival. And obviously the subplot here is Willie Mullins versus Gordon Elliott for the Irish Trainers Championship. So before we look at the race, Binners, what's the latest prices from Paddy Power on that?
Just to say, first of all, Bruce, it's completely unfair. Niall O'Reilly, not only is he the greatest tipster at Paddy Power, but also he's the best-looking trader in the trading room. So life is unfair.
Can't say the same for Keels, can you?
Well, listen, David Jennings is all right. Anyway,
in my experience of traders, Binners, that's like being the highest mountain in Holland, as they say, mate. But go on.
Listen, we're 8-11 Gordon Elliott, and it's evens Willie Mullins. I wouldn't be surprised if Willie Mullins comes in price during the week.
Okay, well, let's tackle the first of the grade ones tomorrow. It's the Herald Champion Novice Hurdle at 4:20. What's the latest betting? I bet Get a Bird is pretty short, Binners, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Evens, Bruce, and then we go 4-1 Mengzi Khan, together with Paloma Blue. And then it's 14 bar Sharjah Whiskey Sour on 14 and it's 16 bar. So free heading the market, really, Bruce.
Watsy, are you playing or laying this Getter Bird?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this went to neither Mullins or Elliot this race. Paloma Blue's quite an interesting horse. Was only a length off Mengli Khan in the Supreme Novices. Has had a nice break since then. So comes here relatively fresh. Good run prior to that behind Sam Crone. Ran well at this meeting last year behind Fiona. So I think all the credentials are there for him to upset the big two. I wouldn't say Getter Bird is bomb-proof by any means. And I think Paloma Blue's got realistic prospects of turning around that length with Mengli Khan too. So I would side with Henry de Promenade's horse.
And a bit of dirty each way there. We've got eight runners, so we can, and we've got more than eight runners, so we can certainly do some each way damage there, can't we, Watsy? Or would you be all up to win?
I quite fancy horse to win. I thought that was a really good run in the Supreme. If he's come forward from that, then I think he's got every chance.
Righty ho, Tom. How are you seeing this race?
Getter Bird's an interesting one, Bruce, isn't it? It's the one mistake I think Willie Mann's made all at Cheltenham, didn't it? I mean, he just pulled far too hard, didn't he, from the word go. Now, look, he's unbeaten right-handed, so maybe it was Cheltenham that was the problem for him, but it's clearly the form horse. I don't like horses that do things wrong very much at odds on, so I agree with Watsy Paloma Blue. He's got to settle. I give a chance to Willie Mullins' other one. Like last year, Willie had lots of second and third strings come in. I think Charger's going to run a race at a massive price. The key to him is ground. He's been thrashed on heavy ground the last three times. But if you remember back to Leopardstown over Christmas, he was going to hack up in that grade one on ground similar to what he's going to get at Punchestown. I didn't think he ran too badly at Cheltenham. I probably finished in front of Getter Bird that day when he clearly didn't get home in the ground. I think he's got the tongue tie on for the first time. I think at 20-1, I agree with Watsy. I like Paloma Blue. But I think if I was going to throw a few quid at one each way, it'd be Charger at 20-1.
And we're looking at yielding this week, Tom, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what it says at the moment. I don't think there's much rain forecast for today, but there might be some during the week. But
and yielding is basically Irish for good to soft, isn't it?
That's it, good to soft ground. So it'd be totally different to anything Getter Bird's run on this season. Let's be honest about it. He did win a bumper on this similar type of ground last year by miles. So I'm not saying that the ground will be a massive issue for him, but it's just he it's hard to get away from what he did at Cheltenham, and he's odds on here. So I'll be looking to take him on. I agree with Watsy. I think Paloma Blue's the obvious one, but Charger each way for me.
Binners, will you be opening the wallet for this one?
I'm going to take on the favourite here, Bruce. Too short for me. I'm really a big Mengli Khan fan. I think it was a good effort behind Somerville Boy in the Supreme. Heavy ground would have been against Mengli that day, and the better ground at Punchestown will suit with Jack Kennedy on board again.
Okay, the 5:30 is the Boyle Sports Champion Chase, and not one, not two, but three superstars from the Willie Mullins yard dominate the market here as he goes all out to try and eat into that gap of Gordon Mullins at the top of the table. Mullins runs Dr. Phoenix. What does it all mean in betting terms, Binners?
What a crackerjack this is, Bruce. Eh? 5-4 Duvan, 9-4 Min, 5-1 Earned or So, 7 Dr. Phoenix with Gordon Elliott trying to pick up a few pieces probably. And then it's 16-1 specialty R and you can have 33-1 the rest.
Tom, I don't know about you, but I mean, I don't think that this race is any less exciting with these three horses because they're all trained by Willie Mullins. I just think it's a great contest, don't you? Or are you kind of are you less excited about it because they're all from the same yard?
No, I'm totally with you. It's a bit of a credit to him that he runs all three of them, isn't it? I mean, they're three tremendously, fantastically exciting horses, aren't they? Duvan, Min and Underso. I mean, I'm sure there was the thought of not running Min, for example. He ran at Aintree the other week, didn't he? Last week, 11 days ago. So it'd been easy for him to leave Min in his box, isn't he? But the fact he's running is tremendous. I mean, personally, I don't fancy Underso that much. I think on over 2 miles on good ground, he's beatable. He got beaten last year by Fox Norton. The conundrum horse is Duvan, isn't he? I mean, I've never seen a horse travel so well in a champion chase like he was doing. I mean, he was absolutely cantering, it looked like, but he did come down. How do we know what sort of, you know, that was his first run for God knows how long. How do we know how he would have finished the race? I mean, he's 6-5. I'd love him to win because he's one of my favourite horses, and I think he's one of your favourite horses too, Bruce.
He absolutely is. But the thing with him there, Tom, is that the injury he had is not one of those ones that's going to slow you down. Once it's better, it's better. He's only 8 years old. We could still be seeing him at his best. And You're absolutely right. He obviously fell far too early at Cheltenham for us to tell. But I don't know. There was just something in the way he was moving that was making me think he was about to run an absolute monstrosity of a race there. So, I've got to admit, if he comes out and does what I hope he does tomorrow, I could have a tear in my eye. You know, I just love this all so much. But from a betting point of view, from a cold-hearted betting point of view...
What would you do, Bruce? Well, how would you play it?
I don't know. There's very few races that I watch and savour and not bet on. I like savouring them and betting on them. I think, do you know what? I think I might do, Tom, and you're the expert, so it doesn't really matter what I do. I'd have a little bit on Duven, because if he is back to his best, he's actually probably an odds-on shot here. But what about you? We want to know what you'd do here.
See, I'd it's because, once again, we got quite a nice a betting shape to it. You've got Duven, very short price. You're not quite sure. You've got Min, who ran at Cheltenham and Aintree and coming on to Punchdown. They don't tend, you know, it's always a touchy feeling thing to know how they're going to react to the three races. But, you know, he's 5-2, I think he is. Then you got Underso, I don't fancy. So I think it's got quite a nice each way shape to it. I would be probably playing something like Ordinary World to hit the frame at 40, 33-1. Maybe that's the way I'd play it. But like you, it's all about Duven. I don't really want to bet against Duven because I just love him to win. But maybe that's what I'll do. I'll play Duven to win and then Ordinary World each way.
What's your strategy going to be?
I think I'd be all in on Duven, to be honest, Bruce. I think Min and Underso are in there, obviously, to pick up place money to help Mullins. Min, as Tom said, has been to Cheltenham and Aintree, had a really hard race at Aintree as well. Good battle with Politolog. That might have left a mark. But if you can grab second or third, that's great for Mullins. Same with Underso, not quite as best at Cheltenham with everything in his favour. Balco de Flo's let the form down since, and I thought Underso might have been a little bit lucky to win last time when Dr. Phoenix was challenging him and then came down. So again, you know, he's there to grab second or third. I think it's a really good fit for Duven this race. I thought, like you said, and Patrick Mullins confirmed it afterwards, that he's very, very happy with the way he was going at the time. His jumping's always been pretty good in the past, so it's a slight worry that he guessed at that and came down. I don't know quite what happened, but if he can get into a good early rhythm, I think this is really one that he can win. And I think, like you said, at his best, he just beats these.
Lovely. Bin, as you wanted to take on the first fav, Getterbird, do you want to take on Duven?
Yeah, why not? Despite the council award, Paul Townend choosing Duven, I'm going to go for Min. I think he was beaten by a very special horse in Altior in the Queen Mother. Only beaten a fag paper in the Melling Chase over an extra half a mile by Politolog, who's a good animal in his own right. And I think he might have been outstayed, but also the winner had the running rail there. So I'm going to go for Min with doubts over Duven after the fall, although he might win by 100 lengths.
OK, one more great grade one coming up in a mo.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
OK, let's look at the other big highlight of the Tuesday card at Punchestown. It's the 640. It's the Growwise Champion Novice Chase. And Mona Lee heads the market here, Binners. What's the latest betting?
Yep, 6-4 Mona Lee for the Waterford Wizard, Henry de Bromhead. 4 Elm Boom Photo, 6 Shattered Love, 7 Finian's Oscar, 10 Raffinden, and it's 12 Bar Bruce.
And we'll stick with you, Binners. You can go first.
Well, listen, Tom Nugent and Niall O'Reilly, they keep throwing in big price ones. I'm going to go for the Storyteller each way in this. Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell won the plate at Cheltenham with this horse. Brilliant ride from Davy. Admittedly, a little bit disappointing last time, but I think he'll appreciate the step up to 3 miles and better ground. And I think he's a huge price at 20-1.
Who do you think will win, Nick Watts?
Well, no horse has perplexed me more this season, Bruce, than Finian's Oscar. He's been a 2-miler, he's been a 3-miler. He was a stayers hurdle horse back in January. And I was already to give up on him. I was up at Aintree, and on the first circuit, the start of the second circuit, when they sped up, his jumping kind of fell to pieces. And I thought, oh, God, this horse is gone for the season. Back to the drawing board. You know, where does he go? Somehow, he found a late rattle from somewhere. And it just goes to show you, he's got a massive engine, this horse, if he can just get it right at the fences. Now, Tizard seems to be saying now that he's a definite 3-miler. I think the longer trip will help him get into a better rhythm than he got into at Aintree. And you can just see, if he can just get it right at the fences between them, he is absolute mustard. So I think it's good to send him here on the back of a win. It was a Grade 1 win, and ultimately convincing if he wasn't kind of midway through the race. So if he can just keep in it, keep fiddling away, keep popping away, I think he's got the class, he's got the running talent to beat all of these on his day, and 7-1 is a very reasonable price.
Tom, are you seeing this as a head scratcher, or are you seeing it nice and clearly?
I think this is I like this race. This is the race of for me that I totally agree with what's about Finian's Oscar. The problem he's got is there are lots of fences, aren't there? You know, he's undoubtedly the most talented horse in the race. If Collins has had a brilliant time of this last year, his horses were brilliant at Aintree. I think they're peaking. I think Finian's Oscar, if he jumps, will win this race, no problem whatsoever. But that is the massive if. The worry you've got is Monley. Does he really stay 3 miles? I'm not sure. You've got a bit of guesswork involved in Monley really getting the trip. His best performance, I thought, was in the 2-mile-5 race at Leopardstown, and then he clearly got outstayed by Presenting Percy last time. Still finished second, but I'm not sure what you'd say about the rest of the field compared to, you know, in the RSA there. I don't think it was the greatest race. I think Gordon Elliott might have a chance with another one. Jury Duty at around 20-1. He was favourite, or very well fancied, for the 4-miler at the start of the last time. Fell, I think, second last. But the ground was all too soft for him. Before that, he'd run Shattered Love really close in the 3-mile race at Leopardstown over Christmas. He's only beaten a length or so. Brown's coming in his favour. Not much between him and Shattered Love. He's 20-1. She's what? 11-2. So, for me, I would throw a few quid at Jury Duty each way. But like Watsy, I'm a massive Finian's Oscars fan. And if he sorts out his jumping, because he jumped the last three really well at Aintree, if he can jump like that the whole way around, he will win.
It's some day, isn't it, Tom? Have you ever been to Punchestown?
I have, but not for the Punchestown Festival.
Oh, you went to another meeting?
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
Yeah,
loved
the festival's it. Brilliant. It really
it's funny,
is.
Bruce. You said 5-10 years ago, we'd have said, oh, Punchestown sort of gets in the way of the flat, you know, the start of the flat and after chill. Now, in terms of quality, it might be better than the both of them.
Yeah, no question.
Because you've got all those. You see how many Irish horses won the handicaps and did these sort of things? Well, we're going to have all of them. We're going to have 20 Irish horses running in handicaps and novice races and things here. It's going to be just brilliant. It's going to be such good quality racing.
And Keel's over there making his debut.
He'll never get out, will he?
No, he won't. He'll have a great time. So if you're going to Punchestown tomorrow and you see Keel's, do buy him yet another Guinness. We've got postcasts every day from Punchestown. The lads are over there, so do tune in for those. Is there anything else on day one that you want to tip up? Tom. Oh, no, yeah, we'll start with you, Tom, actually.
Yeah, well, there's a price. The price wise is going to be every day. We've got four races tomorrow. We've got the handicap hurdle at 4.55, which I'm getting sort of quite interested in. There's a horse who won it last year, Western Boy, who's coming back to try and do it again. I think he's got a chance. And Joey Sosa. I don't know if anyone saw him win on the all-weather at Dundalk recently, but it was incredibly impressive. He's been trained for the race. Drying ground for both of them will be a big, big factor. So at the moment, I'm looking at them, but Willie's got about 10 in there. And, you know, anyone, you know, like we saw the other day with the Low Sun when won the big handicap at Fairy House the other day. He runs 10, and any one of his 10 could easily win.
And anything else for the rest of the week, Tom, that we should be keeping an eye on?
Well, I'm very interested in, obviously, Punchestown Gold Cup, you know, the big one with Road to Respect as the favourite.
On Wednesday.
I'm a big Road to Respect fan, to be honest. I thought he ran a cracker at Cheltenham. I thought all the horses involved in the finish, although he was beaten quite a long way, I thought he was the one that was most disadvantaged by the ground. What he did have, though, was a really, really hard race. So whether he can bounce back on the back of that, I'm quite tempted to take him on at 2-1. I think, once again, there could be a funny result in there. And believe it or not, I'm not giving up on my old pal Total Recall, because I don't, you know, he would have finished in front of Road to Respect in the Gold Cup, and then I think you can just throw out his national run. I know it was only a few days ago, but he didn't go that far because he made so many mistakes. If he came back to his best form, I think he'd almost win it.
Okay, Watsy, anything else on day one, or indeed the rest of the week?
Yeah, the Gold Cup, I'm really interested in Bells Hill. He's actually unbeaten at the Punchestown Festival in 2 Grade 1 races. He won the Grade 1 bumper a few years ago, beat Disco. And then he won the Grade 1 3-mile for novices. So he obviously likes the track, likes this time of year. I was really impressed with his run in the Irish National last time under a big weight. And Connection seemed convinced that it wasn't tiredness that beat him after the last. Apparently, he got distracted by someone in a luminous jacket, which is why.
Is that what it was?
Which is why he climbed all over the fence and put half the field out of the race, or, yeah, or the ones that
very
were closing.
Because he stayed on brilliantly, didn't he? I mean, he looked absolutely legless at the time. You thought he was doing that because he was running on fumes, but then he.
He wasn't beaten far at all in that race, like you said, and he travelled like the best horse in it for quite a long way. And if he's fully recovered from that, like I said, the Punchestown record, the good ground, everything will suit him. I think he can run a big race and help Willie Mullins out a bit in that battle.
OK, and Binners, anything for day one that we haven't discussed or indeed the rest of the week?
I think in the Champion Stayers hurdle, Bruce, I think La Bagro Ra for Warren Greatrex is a huge price.
That French O-level came in handy again there, didn't it, eh?
Yeah, no, it was O-level, not A-level, Bruce. But, yeah, listen, she's 33-1. She's a massive price. She's had a wind up since Cheltenham. She arguably could have won the Mayor's Hurdle. She made a hash of the last. She was very awkward. Richard Johnson thought something was amiss. Warren Greatrex won this race 2 years ago with One Track Mind. And Warren's convinced she's a Group 1 filly, and I hope he does it on Thursday.
Bruce, what about our old friend Forheen? What's the gen on him, do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's going to go 3 miles, isn't he?
Well, I think that's really interesting. I'll tell you why for that Stayers Hurdle. Nichols Canyon, 2 miler, 2.5 miler, went up to the Stayers Hurdle, won. Yanworth last year ran in the Champion Hurdle, went up to the 3 mile race, won. Identity Thief ran in the Champion Hurdle this year, went up to the 3 mile at Aintree, won. All at big prices, all because everyone thought they didn't stay.
Fahin's won over 3 miles.
He's won over 3 miles. He didn't run as badly as everyone suggests in the Champion Hurdle last time. Before that, he was only beaten a length by Super Sunday, who we know was second in the world. If he went 3 miles, I think he'd be a massive player, and he's 16-1, I think he is with Paul there. I thought he's a very interesting horse going up to 3 miles, because I don't think his form this year is as bad as everyone's suggesting.
No, it's only November. He pissed up in the Morgiana,
exactly.
And everyone was saying he's 16s for him. Blimey.
Yeah, it's a big price, isn't
That's
it, for a horse
mad,
that
yeah.
good?
Yeah, what a race that could be.
Yeah.
Good grief. What a week this is going to be. Absolutely superb. Like I say, don't forget there are daily Punchestown postcasts, so definitely worth tuning in for them. Okay, every Monday we give you the chance to win a free £25 or €25 bet, courtesy of our sponsors, Paddy Power. You just have to answer the upcoming question correctly and tweet your answer using the hashtag postcast to stand a chance of winning. The question is, which horse won the Scottish Grand National at Ayr on Saturday? We will reveal the name of the winner in Friday's Weekend Tipping postcast.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Now then, I was admonished this morning by a leading flat trainer who said, the flat season's back, it's up and running, and yet there's pages and pages of Punchestown and jump stuff and not enough of the flat. So let's turn our attention to flat racing, because obviously we've had the classic clues at Newmarket and Newbury, and that were very interesting indeed. So let's talk about the 2,000 guineas first, before the lads give us their view of what it all means. Let's get the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Well, Bruce, we were 11-4 best price Gustav Klimt. That has just gone now. We're 5-2 him now. Then we go 9-2 Saxon Warrior, 5 Massar, who was so impressive at the Craven meeting, 6 Alarcam, and then it's 14 bar, including the likes of Expert Eye, who was beaten in the Greenham.
Okay, well, last week it was dismal for me because I backed Verbal Dexterity for the Guineas. I backed Amerigo Modigliani for the Derby, and we had to run stories saying that they're both out. So I need some new classic ammo. Watsy, what have we got for the 2,000 guineas now?
Well, first of all, going back to the Craven, Bruce, my view on that was that Massar maybe isn't quite as good as he looked, and Roaring Lion not so bad as he looked then. Roaring Lion was 80% fit, according to John Gosden. And I was interested in looking at this because I looked back to Raven's Pass this year, because he also was trained by John Gosden, went to the Craven. He got beaten in his first few starts that season, got beaten in the Guineas, but he ended up being a really good horse. He won the Breeders' Cup Classic, he won the QE2, so he came good. And that's my point about Roaring Lion. If you're on him before and you're really upset, disappointed by the outcome, like I said, he was 80% fit. This is a trial. He will come on for the race, and I don't expect there to be that much between Massot and Roaring Lion next time out.
Can't turn that around, though, can he?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Really?
I wouldn't be surprised. Massot was hard fit. Charlie Appleby admitted that. He'd had a run in the desert. He was a good two-year-old. He wasn't a fantastic one. He got beaten a couple of times in the Chesham and the Laggard there, so he's obviously made a good step forward. I think Roaring Lion is still, if John Gosden sends him to the race and they get a decent gallop, I still wouldn't put it past him to finish in the frame and end up still being a really good horse. If you're asking me what I'm going to bet or what I think's going to win at the moment, I think probably Gustav Klimt, because, yeah, it's not Aidan's normal MO to get a run into his 2,000 Guineas horses where he really fancies one, but because he had that long lag, because he was off in the second half of last season, I think he had to with his horse. So although it's slightly different to what he normally does, I think Gustav Klimt has a very good chance.
Okay, Tom, you nailed that nice winner on Massar. Would you expect Massar to confirm form with Roaring Lion in the big one?
Yep, absolutely. I'm just staggered that he's not favourite.
Really?
Myself. Yeah,
you think
I
he should
am,
be
yeah.
Fav?
Well, I do, yeah. I mean, you look at what Gustav Klimt did. He beat two stable mates and a horse trained by Dermot Weld, who's rated 98 by about half a length. And he's 5-2. You have a horse that's won the Craven by 9 lengths, beating horses rated much higher. Lots of decent horses in there. And we're talking, what is he, 5-1? I don't understand the prices.
Well, it's obviously down to one thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, but what price would Massar be if he was trained by... Now, I hate those questions because he's not trained by Aidan O'Brien. But the point is, Charlie Appleby has won more Group 1 races since, you know, across the world than nearly anyone in the last 6 months or whatever. He's clearly a tremendously good trainer. He's massively improved. I cannot work out why he's 5-1. I really can't. When you watch a trial, that's what you want to see. I mean, I get the Roaring Lion thing. John Gosden doesn't win guineas very, very often. I think he's won one. It was with a filly called Lahan many years ago, and she was lapped in a trial beforehand as well.
Well, that's encouraging then.
Correct. So I get where Watsy's coming with the Roaring Lion will improve, but it's only 2 weeks away, and I'm not having the 80% fit business. No one runs a horse 2 weeks before the guineas 80% fit. That can't be true. That just cannot be true. He might think she's an 80% fit conditioning wise, but he should have run an awful lot better than he did. It's massive guesswork involved with him. I see some huge price on the exchanges. I know that horse is. I mean, for me, I've ruled him out now. And anyway, much as I loved the Racing Post Trophy form, I thought it was the best two-year-old race of the year last year. We've already had the second beaten 10 lengths in its trial. We've had the third, the Pentagon, beaten 10 lengths in the trial. Not quite convinced it's as good as it was in terms of form. So for me, I like Massara those. I'm still a big fan of Mark Johnson's horse, LR Cam. But I think there's every chance that something else will come out of the woodwork. There might be something in there that we haven't even thought out yet. I think it's totally wide open.
I agree with you, that thing about, you know, if he was trained by someone else, that he's trained by a great trainer, and that's factored in, isn't it? The other one I don't like is where people say, you know, if he was yours, what would you do with him? Well, I can't even afford to keep a guinea pig, let alone a, you know, classic racehorse. So what does it matter what I do? But you'd be all over myself. A quick word, Tom, on James Garfield. He's a lovely horse, isn't he? I mean, you know, there's obviously that huge drift on Expert Eye. What can James Garfield achieve this season?
Is he going to stay? That's my problem with him. He looks quite a quick horse to me. I mean, he might do. He might. I'm a big pedigrees man, Bruce, as you know. And I thought that the Greenham was full of horses that were sort of iffy stayers, iffy top class horses. He did well to win, and he's clearly a good horse. But whether he'll win a guineas, I'd be surprised.
What might his greatest moment
Jersey
be? If we look back
like
then, yeah?
I think Jersey Stakes might be his race.
Okay.
Something like that at Ascot. I think, you know, Ascot should suit him. I think something like that might be his métier, something like that.
Paul Binfield, what's your idea of the 2,000 guineas winner?
Well, I think Expert Eye will definitely turn the form around with James Garfield. Bruce, we pushed him out to 16 from 10 on Saturday, but I was happy with the horse. He had no problems with the stalls. He pulled a bit hard early, but Sir Michael Stout is the expert at bringing these horses on. He's described him as a class horse, and I personally think...
Three winners from
85.
Michael Stout, the great experts, three from 85 in the last something like 3 or 4. He's not. His horses just aren't running very well. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. 10 years ago, I would have agreed with you.
Well, anyway, listen, it's great to
You've wilted, Binners. Come on, man. Stand up for yourself. Come back with something.
Well, I tell you what. I personally think that Expert Eye will be the horse that is backed over the next 2 weeks, and I expect him to go off far, far shorter than 16 to 1, Bruce.
Good man. That's better. You've got some wind in your sails later on there. Okay, 1,000 guineas, Binners. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Well, we're struggling a bit here at Dublin Airport. Bruce, if you give me 1 minute,
okay.
Just trying to log back in here.
Well,
I
hope you didn't back Voracious Bruce to go with the other ones.
No, I know that's gone as well, isn't it? I'm honestly done with anti-post betting. It's just one disappointment after another. Honestly, I don't know why I got involved after Melon anyway. But anyway, it's all.
Oh my God, we're not back to Melon, are we?
Yeah, and I still can't get over it, Tom. Just cannot get over. I can't move on. Go on, what have we got then, Binners?
Yeah, we're back in business now, Bruce. 7 of those happily. 6 to 1 September, 8 to 1 Clemmy, who looked unlikely, 10 Wild Illusion and I Can Fly, along with Soliloquy, who won at Newmarket last week, needs supplementing, and it's 14 to 1 Lauren.
You sounded just like one of those old racecourse bookmakers. 7 out of 0. Right, Watsy, what do you like in the 1,000 guineas?
I think it's a bit of a mess at the moment, Bruce. And obviously, the news about Voracious this morning just added to that. It doesn't look as though Clemmy's going to make it. Soliloquy looked okay last week. On a general level, it's really good to see Godolphin come back and have even talked about contenders for the early classics. That's been absent for a few years now. I think I was on a show with Tom last week, and you made a very persuasive case for I Can Fly coming on strongly from her Leopardstown return. And you know, we were talking about the way Aidan trains his horses and they come on from race to race to race. And she could be one that comes on massively for that and end up being the main contender from that camp. So, yeah, I can see where Tom's coming from with that. And at 10 to 1, I think Paul said she was. I think she's very interesting in that price.
So you believe I Can Fly can win, yeah? Okay, Tom, who do you believe will win the guineas?
I like I Can Fly from the trials. I thought Keels' horse, Dan's Dream, was perfectly impressive. She's got to be supplemented, so I think she's got a bit to find. I thought if the two fillies race, the two races at Newmarket during the week, I thought Soliloquy was good, set only her third ever run. That was really impressive. I thought the second horse, Out in Order, for Roger Varian, stayed on well. I think she'll be better over a mile. And I was, funnily enough, I thought the winner of the free handicap, Anna Nerium, was incredibly impressive, and everyone sort of dissed her because she was a big price, 25 to 1. She's a very well-bred filly. She's by Dubawi. She won a trial, a recognised trial, the free handicap by 3 lengths, and she would have won by 5 lengths in another furlong. I was surprised that no one liked her to run into the frame. I really don't see why not. I thought her performance in the free handicap was as good as Soliloquy's, and yet she's 25 to 1 and Soliloquy's 10s.
All that money your parents spent on your education, you can't pronounce it, Soliloquy.
Oh, I did it? Oh, yeah, that is. Oh, God, I hope they don't hear this. They'll kill me.
You know, what a soliloquy is, don't you?
I do, yeah.
It's a long solo speech, isn't it?
Yeah.
Play. Okay,
it's just
right.
Basically just what I did.
Give me one. Give me one for the horse tracker that came onto your radar over the weekend. We'll start with you, Binners.
I am going to go for Defoe, Bruce. Really enjoyed his win at Newbury in the John Porter Stakes. So Roger Varian, trained by the professional Michael Jarvis. We put the winner in at 5 to 1 for the Tattersalls Gold Cup. If he turns up, I think that'll be a generous sort of price. He wouldn't want too fast to ground, but very versatile over 10 to 12 furlongs this season. So looking forward to him.
Defoe for Binners. Who for you, Thomas?
Horse that ran at Navan yesterday, Bruce, in the committed stakes, the listed race, Speak in Colours. First run for Joseph O'Brien. Very unlucky not to win. Think just couldn't quite catch one of Adrian Keatley's the bogeyman by a short head. He beat the 3 Aidan O'Brien horses. I think he's going to be a good horse going forward, but I wouldn't rule out Sioux Nation, who I think is being aimed at the Commonwealth Cup later in the season. He's a big, massive horse who was slowly away yesterday. He had a Group 1 penalty as well. The ground was wrong, but he kept on really well. So for me, that was a very interesting race, that race at Navan, and I'd keep Speaking Colours and Sioux Nation very much to the head of my very well-used tracking system.
Noted, Tom. Who's going to go into my tracker from your great brain, Mr. Watts?
One for the flat, Young Rascal. I thought won a maiden really nicely at Newbury at the weekend over a mile and three. William Haggis horse. So I think he might go for a trial somewhere for the Derby to see if he's good enough. Maybe he could be one for the Lingfield Derby trial, something like that, or maybe Chester. If you wanted a much longer term one, Dingo Dollar gave a really great sight in the novice chase, novice handicap chase at Ayr at the weekend. Loves good ground, and he's one to put in the tracker for next season. He's definitely a national horse for the future.
Okay. Hey, what about Bally Optic, boys? Might he win the Grand National next year?
Suppose he could, couldn't he? Yeah.
I thought he was really impressive. I thought he doesn't like Cheltenham. That's the key to him. Just doesn't like Cheltenham. So forget all his Cheltenham form, and he's just basically top class around anywhere else.
Yeah, no, very good. Good horse. Ed Quigley, our man Ed Quigley, absolutely loves Bally Optic, and hope he's kept the faith because he discovered him. Okay, finally, it's officially the end of the flat season on Saturday.
Jumps.
And the bet jumps even, yeah, good point. Flat, jumps, whatever. And the big race, of course, is the Bet 365 Gold Cup. Always not formally known as the Whitbread, but currently and forevermore known as the Whitbread. What's the latest betting on that one from Paul Binfield?
9, missed approach, Bruce. 10, Black Lion. Miss Parfois, Rock the Casbah. 12, Bally Optic, Big Bad John, Regal Flow, Sizing Tennessee, and it's 14 the rest.
And what, see who's going to win this?
I think Mr. Proach has got a good chance. Yeah, he won nicely at Cheltenham last time out, obviously, beat a big gamble in Maldini. And you go back to his form in the four-miler at Cheltenham last season, he was only 3 lengths behind Tiger Roll, so obviously that looks very good now. Warren Greatrex has kind of kept him, he kept him away from Aintree, hasn't run him since Cheltenham, so I think he's a worthy favourite. My old friend Blackline might go again, didn't get any luck in the National, got brought down, wouldn't be surprised to see a big run from him. So, you know, it's kind of, we're at that stage of the season in the jumps. It's not, I like to try and find something at a big price, you know, because a lot of these horses have gone over the top, but there's nothing of those kind of prices that appeals to me this time. I think it could be one for Mr. Proach.
Tom?
What about Step Back? He's going to be about 20 to 1, 14 to 1, something like that. He's a horse trained by Mark Bradstock of Coney Gree fame. He was third in a race at Sandown not long ago on soft ground, but he came out last time at Faken and won by 20 lengths. He just looks like the type of horse that's getting better, and what he is going to do is relish the step up in trip. So at the moment, he's number 52 on the list, but he's got a long way to go to get in, but there's so many up the top there that ran on Saturday. He might well get in. And if he gets in, I'd be very interested in him step back.
Interesting. Binners, who's your idea of the winner?
Well, Bruce, it took me ages to come up with a selection for this. I was looking through it and everything seemed to have run at Ayr on Saturday. And I couldn't work it out. Then I went to Klondike for David Pipe, 14 to 1. And then your great newspaper today reported that he will run wherever it's soft on Saturday. So I imagine that may well be Punchestown, but listen, if he turns up at Sandown, I think he's got a great chance. He was impressive in the Mandarin, but equally, if he turns up at Punchestown, back him there anyway.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Binfield. Thanks, Tom, and thanks, Nick. Quickly before we go, I want to get your highlights of the jump season. I'm going to throw you a horrible curveball because I'm going to bag the one that you wanted to say. It was that memorable Gold Cup, Might Bite and Native River. I thought it was just one of the great, great horse races that I have ever seen. Loved the way Might Bite came back out and won at Aintree. So that is the highlight for me. Watsy?
Yeah, I'd have to be Altior in a champion chase. I actually backed Min in that race and all the way through, particularly turning for home. I thought I got this one, got it taped, but he pulled Altior out on that turn of foot he showed on horrible, dirty ground was just unbelievable in a matter of strides. You know, my time was up and Min was done for. And so Altior, exceptional talent.
Tom, is it you? I can't remember one of the mega judges in our organisation thinks that Altior's just a 3-miler running at the wrong trip. Is it you or someone else?
I think he'd be even better over further, yeah, definitely. I don't think I've ever seen a horse sprint up that Cheltenham Hill faster than he does. He looks beat, doesn't he? I mean, you boys would have seen him in the Arkle last year and in the Champion Chase this year. Where I thought, oh my God, he's beat. And then he ends up winning by 10 lengths. I don't think I've ever seen a horse go up that. I mean, I'd love to see him have a crack at a further and see what happens. I mean, when you win the Champion Chase by 10 lengths, there's no need to move. But I'd give him a shot. Yeah, as for my highlight, Bruce, I love the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Love it every year. It's my favourite race of the year. It's the start of the Cheltenham Festival. Very frustrating this year with Kalashnikov just getting beaten, but I thought the two of them, it was nice to see a different set of owners, trainers, jockeys, all in the finish there. I loved it. I thought Somerville Boy and Kalashnikov, brilliant race.
I've actually backed Somerville Boy for the Champion Hurdle next year, but my concern is that he absolutely has to have it really soft.
Could do, but no, I can't see why not.
I just thought 16s was big. I mean, it's a weak division at the moment, isn't it?
Of course it is. Of course it is, yeah.
Okay, and Paul, what was your highlight?
Well, Bruce, I don't even work for you, and I think it was the greatest Gold Cup I've ever seen. But I'm going to go for Waiting Patiently winning the Ascot Chase. It was just such a marvellous battle with the very popular cue card. It was a very poignant win for Ruth Jefferson following the sad death of her highly popular father, Malcolm. And it was just a huge, great race.
What a great shout and a great way to end the postcards. Well done, Binners. Well done, lads. Thank you very much indeed. Don't forget, daily postcards from Punchdown all week. If you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.